you were most known, I think, for both solo, but in particular your performances with John Kimmock on percussion with you in the duo XVXK, right? And that's still ongoing, but you've been taking a break from live performances in that format.
Yeah, yeah, we came off the road. We've been finishing our album, though, so that's going to be ready shortly. It's in the mastering process right now. But we're happy with the way it sounds. We had some good participation from Dana Colley, who's the saxophone player in Morphine.
Ah, nice.
He produced a few of the tracks on the album. And we just put a lot of love and care into it. So it's finally coming out.
Okay, very good, Trevor. Does Dana Colley actually perform on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's some horn parts on there that neither of us play, then those are him.
Be nice to hear some sax with you, and particularly his sax.
So, yeah, thanks. I think so, too.
Okay, and tonight you will be at, you're performing a late performance this evening over Still Stacks at 11 p.m., right? 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah. I'm showing up tonight with a trio. Local drummer Zach Martin and Jeff Littman on bass.
Okay, so cello, bass, and drums. So really bottom heavy, basically, right? Really funky.
Yeah, well, it takes the pressure off me to play the bass parts, which is what I've been doing. So that's nice.
And you have a new cello with you. We'll talk about it after you play the first piece, but I'm just counting the strings. Your new cello is four string as well, right? It's not a five string.
Yeah, I only have four fingers. So four strings is about right.
You were talking about playing the bass part. I know that one or two cellos have five-string cellos that add the extra string, which enables them to do the bass part.
Yeah, so they do that. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of work. Yeah. I'm not drawn to it personally. I've tried it, and it's hard.
Yeah, okay, so having the bass player with you, and then one of you can be doing pizzicato, one arco, and mixing things up like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Instead of having to do it all yourself. Does that mean you do less looping if you have a bass player working with you?
I haven't done any looping with these guys.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember last year we did the conversations with WDIY, and you were using quite a bit of loops when you were working with John in XVSK.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still do that sometimes when I'm alone, but I think the bottom line with looping is if you're playing with other people, to have them all adjust themselves to play with a loop can be somewhat stifling. For everybody, including me. But it's also hard to keep a groove lively if it's all working on a machine. So I do it when it works, but I try to do it as little as possible. I'm not a big looping guy, but it's a tool sometimes.
Okay. Hey, so we'll be looking forward to hearing you in that trio format tonight. But in the studio, you've got your brand new cello. How about playing us something?
Oh, yeah. You want to hear something?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. A nice Spanish flavor to that, right? A little bit of flamenco?
It's just a little thing. I mean, I don't even know where it came from. I started playing it one day.
Well, nice. The cello, compared to your previous cello, is this a bit more resonant?
Oh, yeah, this new one is great. I mean, we did an online fundraising campaign. I got 160 people to give money so I could get this thing.
Wow.
I'm just always overwhelmed with gratitude. I'm trying not to carve everybody's name in the back of it.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, it just shows the impact you've had on listeners that many people would want to listen to you performing on a better instrument than you had to replace your old cello. Do you still have the old one? You still have it?
Oh, of course I have it, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you picked it up you picked it up somewhere really cheaply, I remember you telling me once.
Yeah, I got it out of somebody's garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I played that one for years and years and years and just, you know, ended up... Yeah, I mean, I'm still very, very attached to that cello, but there's just certain things it won't do on stage. And then I met these guys at a cello festival, you know, as you do. And they have this state-of-the-art pickup system that they designed. So this is, I think it's the only cello right now in the Western Hemisphere that has it installed. So they wanted to have me playing it so that they could get more visibility for their own product, which I totally endorse.
Nice.
And so they cut me a break on it, and I reached out to the fans, and they helped me out with it. And we did the deal, and I've been playing this cello for a couple months now. Yeah, I'm still breaking it in. I mean, a lot of folks, you know, if you get a new instrument, there's a period you have to go through where you get used to it, and we're still getting used to each other. But, you know, no big snags yet. I'm going all right.
How's it handling the humidity we've got right now?
Oh, yeah, we prefer not to talk about that. I just don't even think about that, you know. I mean, yeah.
I guess a new cello is more susceptible to humidity variations than an older one.
Oh, well, no, they're all cranky in the humidity. The problem with any instrument is that there's different species of wood that are used for each part, and they all have different densities, and they change size and shape at different rates when the humidity changes. So anytime the humidity changes in any way, the cello is going to groan. And you know, I'm not really a classical guy, you know, so it would affect me significantly if I were playing in front of orchestras or in those kind of acoustic spaces where you really needed the air space to cooperate in a certain way. You know, it's really for those folks. But when I play, I'm plugged in. I use the pickup. I'm turning a lot of knobs. So if something goes wrong with the tone, or if it you know, stiffens up a little bit, I'll probably just turn a knob to compensate. And I'm always compensating for a million other things anyway. There's always people talking in the room, so it's not really that big an issue for me personally.
Mm-hmm. And right
as
now,
as long as it doesn't break, I'm fine.
Right now, the fantastic new pickup is not in use. We're just acoustically mic'd here. So
this is
the sound.
It's also just a generally better quality instrument than the one I had. So that's a plus.
Trevor, let's hear you play something else on it.
Okay. There's a song called January. Stay up and tell me your story. Atlantic rods shivering cold. Even pace, even before me, something this year feels so old. Bells and birds. talk to me. And I want it and I want it and I want it to go down straight, crooked highways for sure. All the good and bad friends and the sailors I know. And I want it and I want it and I want it to go. Feed me the air you've been shedding, sleeping on top of a fold. January calling me, water in my ear.
Beautiful, folky, atmospheric piece. Is that on your upcoming solo album?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. I'm recording right now alone in one room with one single take. I'm not doing any overdubs. So it's all live performances with no editing. So I've just been working really hard on the individual performance of each song and just making sure it works just with cello and voice. Instead of writing a song and then piecing it together on a bunch of tracks and over several months, I'm just trying to nail it with one take. So I've got a little bit of help with it, but I'm mainly self-producing it. I'm working with a co-writer and we're doing it together. Her name is Jill Fruitkin, and she's helping me produce and let me know when it's working and when it's not. So we're having some fun times with that.
That she's doing sort of writing, a little bit of vocals from her as well, or no?
Yes, 11 of the 12 songs are co-writes. So we've, actually 10 of them are co-writes. So it's, you know, it's a story that's, you know, taking shape. And, you know, she's got a great background in theater and dramaturgy and all kinds of other things too. So it's kind of keeping me in check, because if it's just one person doing it by themselves, they'll overlook stuff and no one will call them. So with two of us, there's, you know, a little bit less room for error, which is nice.
So the two of you doing the lyrics, you're doing all the music yourself, I assume, right?
No, each song is a total collaboration. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good. Now, XVSK, they most of those pieces, were they you and John together? In terms
yes,
of composition?
Yes, we spent a lot of time together working on the music. So, you know, I mean, the actual melody and words and chords came from me, but we spent so much time on each piece together that I consider them, you know, 50-50 collaboration.
Okay, so working, composing collaboratively has been sort of
yeah,
sort of your norm.
John's contribution is enormous, so it's not like a Trevor with drums. It's definitely a band.
Right.
And we approached it as such, and we marketed it as such, and that's what it is. So even though this new album is a solo album, technically it's really a collaboration with a producer.
Okay, so you've got that, the XVSK coming out, we talked about already. You've got the trio tonight, and then did you have a quintet working in New York City recently, I think I noticed?
Yes. I have a wedding band, so we play the hits, and that's actually really fun. It's just a different circuit entirely, where all the marketing is private, and the gigs are much longer. There's a lot less pressure on me to write all the songs. You know, we can pull out all the Fleetwood Mac and Beatles tunes we can shake a stick at and just have a blast. And then I'm able to hire really top-notch local musicians from that music scene, which is just kind of fun for everyone to go out and have a laugh at a wedding. That's the secret.
Now, do you get dressed up in a tux for this? Or I can't imagine you in a wedding band.
Well, I had tuxes a long time ago when I used to do kind of orchestra subbing gigs. And there was one day, years and years ago, way before I even started writing songs on cello, I got rid of all that stuff in a fit of, I'm never going to do this again. You know, I don't want to wear this penguin suit. I got a couple of nice suits I'll wear on the wedding gigs, but no tuxes yet. Maybe it'll come to that. I'm not mad at it.
The other instruments in the band, in that quintet?
Yeah, it's a typical band. It's aside from the cello, there's bass, drums, guitar, keyboards, and two other singers. The main thing about our band is we're spending a lot of time on vocal arrangements and harmonizing. When I moved to town, joined a gospel choir. I started teaming up with different choir directors and arrangers and singers, and there's a whole scene, and a lot of them play in a lot of different wedding bands. So we have fun with different pop tunes and trade ideas back and forth, and it's a wonderful breath of fresh air from the normal public music scene, where there's a huge amount of competition for a small amount of performance slots. And the wedding industry, it's a little bit of the opposite, where you're trying to make sure each event is covered and there's music for every event, because a lot of the same days are booked really far in advance, with multiple acts. So some days there's actually competition for they want to get your band first, mm-hmm. instead of the other way around
where you're
slot before some other band takes it, and then you have to do all the promoting yourself. So I'm enjoying it a lot, just in terms of having a normal job and being an entrepreneur and running a working band that doesn't have to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles.
For a small gig, right?
Yeah. I could talk about how great it is for hours.
And any crossover, any seepage of any of the pop covers that you're doing into a variation that you're doing solo or in either of the other creative bands?
Yeah, well, that's actually part of the formula right now, because I love working cover songs into my own set, and I just can never really find the time to learn enough of them. So part of this endeavor was to just really focus on learning songs. Because I like writing songs, but I'm not a professional writer. I don't crank out dozens of songs all the time. It's not my full-time thing. And I'm not really inspired to be a writer, but there's also the thing of, I just don't know enough songs. I've always kind of had an issue about remembering words, and so this is part of an effort to sort of force myself to buckle down and really learn a bunch of songs, get a couple of hundred songs that I can just pull out and be that human jukebox that I've always dreamed of being. There's no rule that said I had to write all the songs that I know,
right? Now look, putting your variation, your arrangement, your treatment of a well-known melody, I mean that's part of it, and that can be just as individual,
and it's automatically a
different
creative thing.
Yeah, right. Well, Trevor, take us out with one more piece, and let me just back announce we're talking with Trevor Exter on his brand new, in the last couple of months, cello, and you have a chance to catch him performing live this evening in a trio format with bass and drums at 11 p.m. over at Steel Stacks as part of Music Fest, so one of the many superb things happening, but 11 p.m., so there isn't so much competition, so get over from whichever stage you're at, over to Steel Stacks for 11 p.m. this evening, and catch Trevor with his new cello. What would you like to take us out with, Trevor?
Oh, thanks, Bill. Here's a song called Eyes Closed. So we'll see how it goes. I haven't recorded this one yet. It's a newer one. It's one of the collaborations. And it goes a little something like this. ¶¶
something to keep. If we knew now what we did then, would you still want to be my friend? It's the scar on your lip, the blink of your eye. You give me something, I don't know why. Tell me again about the time that you fell. Will you ever know me that well? Look at me smoking cigarettes for company. Can't you see there's a place
Thank you, Trevor. Beautiful, beautiful. Ah, nice to hear some new material there. Okay, Trevor Exter, thank you for coming by the studios this afternoon. And again, you can catch Trevor this evening, 11 p.m. down at Steelstacks. 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. tonight as part of this year's Music Fest. Thanks again, Trevor.
In my arms, a girl with all the charms of you. Venus, make her fair, a lovely girl with sunlight in her hair.